From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. And thank you for listening, listeners. And thank you, Al, for singing our theme song. I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I want you to know I love you, baby. Welcome, listeners, and we have a great show on store. Let me introduce our co-host, Brother Paul Miller. Brother Miller, are you there all the way from Jersey?
I am.
Oh, thank you, Brother Miller.
I'm here, ready to go.
Okay, and we have Angela is our guest, and she has an inspiring story, but more than that, she has an inspiring way of reaching people for Jesus. So welcome, Brother Miller, and welcome, Angela. Thank you so much for coming.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I'd like to start the show, as I usually do, if it's okay, with a little prayer for Dr. John Palmer, who is ill. And so I've made a commitment to start all the shows in honor of Dr. John Palmer and to say a little prayer that was composed by our prayer group while saying the rosary. So just give me a minute, and this is called the Prayer for John. Father God, we rejoice in the blessings of your son, Dr. John Palmer, in our lives. We thank you for John. He is a light to the nations, bathed in your light shining upon him. He is the fearless prayer warrior, a tower of strength, and a Christian hero for so many. Your beloved children, we pray this rosary for John, and know all his friends will remember him in their prayers each day. We ask for renewal of John's mind and body, removing all pain and anguish as he is restored to good health. And we surrender all to you, Jesus. We trust in you, Lord, for John's complete recovery in your time and in your way, according to your will. We ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, for we know that she will refuse nothing in the name of you, Jesus. John's heart belongs to you, Father. Grant him your peace, hope, and joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This prayer was...
Amen.
Amen. And just so you know, this prayer is from the Spirit Lord Rosary, prayed by our prayer group for Dr. John Palmer on June the 30th, 2015. And from this spiritual rosary, we were able to comprise this prayer. Okay, so John, come back to us soon. We miss you, and our listeners also miss you. So welcome, Doctor. Welcome, Angela, and welcome, Paul. Thank you so much for co-hosting with me.
It's my pleasure.
So introduce our guest today. I'm very excited that she
agreed. I just want to add 2 cents to what you said about Dr. Palmer. I really hope he comes back soon because it's getting hard to be your co-host.
I know. Oh, but thank
you
so much.
I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to make you laugh.
I know, and you do.
So I'm very pleased to introduce someone who is very close to me in my life and in my ministry, someone who I've known for since she's a late teenager, before she was married, before she had a singing career, before she had 7 kids. And her name, of course, is Angela Mintow. And Ange, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
So, Ange, I would like if you could start off by telling us a little bit about your conversion. Because the story, just so you know, Tony, the story is a very inspiring story that Angela has told all throughout the United States and many... on television and many, many other venues. So I'd like her to start by telling us that.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Well, about 20 years ago, I was a freshman in college, and I just started singing. I started voice lessons, just started singing, and I got involved with a band, and I became backup singer. And the guy in the band, he was, you know, to me, really cool at the time. And we started hanging out and playing in bars down that in the Philly, Villanova area. And I was really excited about doing this life. You know, a little background, I grew up Catholic, went to Catholic school my whole life. But I can honestly say I never had a really strong faith. I just did it because my parents did it, and that's what we did. And but praying on my own and doing, believing in Jesus and his teachings was never really something in my heart. It was just something I did because my family did. So when I was in college and I started singing in the bars and hanging out with this guy that eventually became my boyfriend, it kind of led me more astray. And I stopped going to church. And, you know, I got involved in, more down the wrong road. You know, started smoking marijuana every day. But, and at first I was never going to do it until I started hanging out with people who did it all the time. And then it became easy because, well, they're doing, okay, I'll just try it. Okay. And then it became a daily habit. And then I just started turning away from my family and not really going home and just staying out in Pennsylvania with my boyfriend, and just started living the promiscuous life and just turning away from everything really that I was taught up and believed that, you know, I was supposed to do. And then one day I got really sick. What happened was, you know, we'd eat late, and then my boyfriend was like, oh, you know, you gained a couple pounds, so you should lose weight. So at first I'm like, okay, I'll start running again. So I tried the right way to do it, and then I was like, well, this is just too much work. So I ended up becoming bulimic, and for a few weeks of that, I started getting this horrific pain on my esophagus, and I was rushed to the hospital, and they said, well, you have an ulcer. And I didn't know any of this, and I was expecting to be sick. And my father, eventually, my parents had to find out, right, that I was sick, but they didn't know why I was sick. Like, why? Because they didn't know about the bulimia or anything and the drugs and all that. But they had an idea, like, something's wrong with her. She's not the same person. So my father was good friends with Father McDonough, renowned healing priest, who died in 2008. And I was very, very, very skeptical. I'm like, I'm not going, Dad. You're not forcing me to go. I'm 18 years old. And he's like, you are my daughter, and you are going. You know, those Sicilian fathers, they just force you to do things. So he got me on a plane to Boston and took me to a healing service. Now, I did not believe in it. I said there's some hoax from TV where people pray and you fall down. That's not real. So I go to the healing service, and it was in Lowell, Massachusetts. There were hundreds of people there. And of course, I get introduced personally to Father. I get to sit like in the front row. And right when he starts the service, he goes through his talking part, and I'm just sitting there like, this is, why am I here? So boring, blah, 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 you know? And then he says, okay, now I'm going to bless everyone. And my father must have told Father McDonough, get her first, because she sees people falling, she might run away. So I was one of the first people to go up. And my dad's like, just let him bless you, you know, maybe you'll feel better. So he prayed over me, and I went right down in the spirit, and I could not get up. And it was the first time I've ever rested in the spirit, because like I said, I didn't have faith in it. So I'm laying there, and I can't move. And I'm like, what am I doing down there? And I could hear everything going on. So I get up after a few minutes, and, you know, at first I don't feel different, and then a couple days go by, and I feel better, my stomach, you know, because I was hurting all the time. And I'm like, I feel better. And then I stopped taking the medicine because I was feeling fine. And I said, wow, this is so strange. I feel better. Maybe it was from this healing priest. So I come to find out he's going to be in New Jersey for 3 healing services in a row a couple weeks later. Now, on my own, I said, well, you know what? Maybe I'll go. Then I find out he's staying at my house. So I'm like, oh. So I come back from, you know, doing the singing, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to these services. I tell my boyfriend. He actually comes back with me. I'm like, you should go, too. Like, thinking, well, maybe it'll help him if he goes. So I go to one healing service, and I rest in the spirit again, and I'm crying hysterically. I, like, receive an emotional healing. And then that night when I, like, got, after I got out up from the spirit and I got up, I was so filled with the Holy Spirit, like, with joy, with peace, with love. I'm like, what is this feeling? It's like you're high, but not in a bad way, in a great way. Like, that's how I related it in my understanding of it. And I said, I want this. So the next morning I wake up, I said, I got to change my life. I can't live this double life. I can't, like, do drugs. I can't, like, live this lifestyle. I can't be bulimic and do all these things and want Jesus at the same time, want the Holy Spirit, want what I receive. So Father's, like, you know, at my house. I said, okay. And the assistant who was with him said, why don't you go talk to Father? I said, you know, maybe I should go to confession. It's been so long. So I go downstairs and I sit on the couch. I'm like, Father, can I talk to you? Can I go to confession? He's like, sure. And he's like, you know, this old loving Irish priest puts his arm around me. And I'm like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I'm like, oh, I'm crying. I'm like, I'm just so messed up. I need help. And he's like, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Jesus loves you and he forgives you. And he's just like walking me through it. And he's hugging me. And he gives me absolution, and for the first time in so long, I felt like these chains, this weight was lifted off my shoulders. And, you know, from that day on, God gave me the gift of faith. Faith like I've never had before. And a spirit of chastity that I never thought I'd get. And it was so funny because that day my boyfriend was there, and I said, after this all happened, and Father, you know, I said, he gave me absolution. I go upstairs, I said, you know, to my boyfriend, well, you can't touch me now. Sorry. You have to be like this, because Father told me that's a sin. So and he was like, what? Like, he was so upset. So within a month's time, that was it. The relationship was over because, you know, I was a completely different person. I went from that life to going to Mass, praying the rosary, and, you know, and spending time with Father McDonough as much as I could. And that started my journey. And I was only 18, turning 19, how blessed I was to receive that gift at such a young age. So that was the beginning of my coming to God.
So, Angela, so you came to God by being slain in the Spirit. Is that the gist of it? Is that what happened? Being prayed
yes,
over?
I mean, that was the beginning.
Brother Paul, you're a healer and you have healing ministries, and I've seen people being slain in the spirit one after the other as you're praying over them. Can you explain to those that maybe don't know what being slain in the spirit is?
Sure. When someone who has the charism of healing prays for someone, physically laying hands on them, what actually happens during those few seconds in which the person is praying is that the Holy Spirit is abundant in the person praying, in the person with the gift, the charismatic gift. And that Holy Spirit, in fact, goes from that person to the person receiving the blessing. And for some people, and it's not always every person, but sometimes it's quite a few people, once they receive that spirit, it's so overwhelming to them, and God has a plan of healing them that requires them to let go. to just let go. And what happens, of course, is they lose their ballots and they fall. People fall a little differently from one person to the next. But the bottom line is, God only produces that when he wants to do a certain type of healing. And so people experience that. I know when I went my first time to a service, I mean, I just thought it was crazy, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was nuts. I was like Angela. I thought, oh, this is nuts. And in fact, that service, I was asked to bless people, so I didn't even realize that charism existed in that way in me. And probably the first time I blessed people, I would say over 90% fell. And there were many, many hundreds of people. So it's a very powerful charismatic gift that God gives people who have the healing touch, so to speak.
So, but if you're not slain in the spirit, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not with you or
absolutely, because in fact, the first 3 years after I found out through the help of Maria Esperanza that I had the healing gift, I prayed for thousands of people all over the world, and I never met a single one of them. And there were healings. There were very dramatic healings all over the world.
Wow.
And yet I never met them, and to this day I've never met them.
Wow.
Obviously God doesn't have limits over what he can do. Right, Ange?
That's for sure.
So, Ange, I want to, because we have, only a certain amount of time on the show, I want to sort of move on to your transition of, so what happened next? What happened in your life next?
Okay, so after, my life changed, I decided to take a semester off of college because I was so different as a person. I need to figure out what I'm going to do in my life. So I was going to be, I just finished a freshman year in college, and then I literally just started following Father McDonough. I would go to Boston, and I would go to his prayer groups. I go to his healing masses every night in Watertown that he used to have them. And I'd spend a couple weeks, my mom come up with me, and the two of us would stay at a hotel and we'd just hang out with Father and go to his healing services. And Father would want me, now that I was so changed, to start sharing during his healing services. So I, when he would go to different places, he's like, if you could come, I would like you to speak because you're a young person who is, God has given so much. So I would go up and I would share my story. And also he's like, and I have this song that I wrote called Gentle Shepherd. Do you think you could sing it? So that's how it all started, with the singing for, doing the music on the Catholic side, is I started to sing Father's songs and then started to sing a little bit when I would be with him. Then, just a couple months later, I was feeling very moved to share my story wherever I went, So I was doing it with Father, and then I don't even remember how, but we met up with someone that did music and wanted to do, we said, let's do a CD. So we did a Christian, Catholic Christian recording when I was 19. So it was just a few months after. And we put out this CD called Heaven Knows Me. And I started to travel around and get booked little church dates. So I'd go to youth group and sing and witness. I'd bring my tracks and I'd sing live. And I would share my story with the teenagers. And it was amazing, the result of these kids hearing the message, because the music first would open their hearts to listening to a message of, how God could change you and how you come close to God in prayer and everything that, God wanted me to speak about. So that happened for about three years. I was traveling.
Okay, I want to stop you there because
yes, Brother Paul.
Mm-hmm. At that point, where I started to get closer to Angela, because I knew Angela's father pretty well at that point, and Angela was out on the road doing these things. And at the time, I was producing TV shows in New York, and I said, you know, I think I'll, you know, I like what you're doing and what your daughter's doing. Maybe I'll come and shoot, like, a little TV show about her. And so, mm-hmm. in fact, I did go with her to this church, and she sang this particular song, and it moved me in so much, Tony.
Yes.
That I suggested we do a music video about it. Mm-hmm. And the name of the song is World Gone Mad. And I would like it if we could have Trevor play that
sure.
song, because it'll give you an insight into one of the first real connections between Angela and I.
Okay. All right, Trev. You're on.
Has the world gone mad? In a car on the street, cardboard windows and the seats once made of leather, lies a woman sleeping. Has the world gone mad?
What do you think, Tony?
Angela, Paul, that song is beautiful. It really is. And you know what? Can I have permission to play some of these songs on my other shows, Angela? Is it okay?
Would sure. Your
singing is gorgeous. It really is.
Thank you, Tony.
It's gorgeous.
You know, when I what sort of amazes me right now is the fact that even though that was probably 15 years ago, almost probably when we first did that, I didn't really realize at that time how powerfully that song would speak to me. And of course, you know what happened after yes. that to me. You know, brought me into serving the poor of Newark. But before we go there, perhaps we can go back to Angela. And I know that you were very successful at that time. So talk a little bit about your experiences with Life on the Rock.
Oh, yes. So as I started singing out and I started to get known and I had, like, a promoter, we reached out to EWTN and they had a show called Life on the Rock at that time with Jeff Cavins, and he heard about me because I was one at that time one of the only Catholic rock singers. There was only Christian rock singers, but I was a distinction because on my first CD I had Hail Mary Gentle Woman, and I got a lot of heat on that. People were like, "You have the Blessed Mother on your CD. You have pictures of her. How are you going to promote the Christian world of rock when you're Catholic?" I'm like, listen, I need the Blessed Mother. I'm not taking her off my CD. I'm sorry. And, you know, and that was it. And, you know, so I was one of the newer at that time. It was like, about 18 years ago, I think that's when that first CD came out. So when Jeff even heard about me, and he's like, you know, can you come on my show and share your story? So I was on EWTN Live, Life on the Rock, that time and two other times. So I was actually on three times, six different times, but like every 6 months or every year, I'd go on again because I had a new album, I had a new song or something that they wanted to hear what I was doing. So, I mean, it was an exciting time to definitely share the faith and to sing this Catholic rock piece. Because I wasn't much older than these high school kids. You know, I was only a couple of years, and I looked young, so they just thought I was their age anyway. So it really was a great thing to be able to share and come on their level. And for them to, like, share with me their life stories and stuff. Like, after the concerts, I would find their CDs and talk with them and, you know, it was an amazing experience.
So, Angela, so yes. it all started from being prayed over. And from being prayed over, you started evangelizing through music. You were converted to Jesus. And now I've heard you at Brother Paul's conferences sing and evangelizing through music. And it's so beautiful, and so your story is so inspiring, but I know that if any other listeners out there that have fallen away maybe from Jesus, you know what? All you have to do is be open to it, and Jesus will come and sweep you up and bring you right back into the fold. Isn't that correct?
Yes, but the funny thing for me is I was so resistant. And it was because of my father's persistence and knowing Father McDonough, he just brought me there, hoping and praying. And my mother was going to, like, to daily mass for about 3 months before my conversion, praying that I would come back to the family and come back to God. And, you know, who knows who was praying for me? And I was no clue.
That she was praying for you.
But
you know what? Tell Mom, St. Monica prayed for 17 years for St. Augustine. And finally he came back to the church and became a saint.
Yeah.
So prayers are powerful and prayers work. And so any listeners out there that pray for their children, don't give up. Keep praying for them. Right? I mean, it works.
I think one of the most important messages of Angela's life and ministry, so to speak, is how God can change your life from 1 minute to the next, not just from, you know, through conversion, but also change what he wants you to do at a particular point in time. So now Healy Evangela, right? She's on the road. She's on television. She's singing. She's getting more popular, you know, more widely known and building a real following. And then something happens to change her life. What was it, Angela?
Well, I got engaged during my second album, and I got married. And, you know, I was at the top, I'd say, of traveling and touring. I got to the point where I was invited to the pre-World Youth Day event in 2000. They had a one in Paris. I got to sing in the steps of Notre Dame, in the front steps, and perform to thousands of people. I got to perform on World Youth Day Rome 2000 to people it was amazing. Huge national conferences and everything. It was great. It was great. And then when I got pregnant with my son, Eddie, I was actually in Paris, you know, after I got married in March 2000. And then I got pregnant right away. And then I saw a few events, big events, so I still did those while I was pregnant. And then I delivered Eddie in December 2000. And then, you know, I felt that it was time for me to step back and raise my kid, you know, and because because my husband and I were open to life and we wanted a big family. My husband is 12 years older than me. You know, the funny thing is we were both discerning the religious life. Even though I was touring and singing, I had a great, great love of prayer. So I would spend hours a day praying. I loved it. And I just thought, well, maybe God wants me to be a nun because I love praying so much. Maybe I love it because of the married life. So, you know, I was discerning that. And my husband also was looking at the friars and Franciscan life. And I was looking at the Franciscans, too, in separate orders. And then we met through a priest, Father Pio, who is a Franciscan, who just started a hermitage in Pennsylvania. My husband was building his chapel, and I went up to help him deliver his Padre Pio statue that we got from the harbor, and he needed a truck, and I had a Tahoe. So I said, okay, Father, I'll help you. We'll go out to your place. That's how I met my husband. And we were just friends. We were from separate paths, not looking for a dating, and God brought us together. And a year and a half later, we were married. So, you know, that began my journey of motherhood, wifehood, and just, you know, being home and raising kids. And I had, like, three kids in a row. And then, you know, by the fourth kid, and I really wasn't singing out at all. You know, I wasn't doing anything with the ministry. But as Brother Paul's ministry started to emerge, and he started to get well-known, and I was close with him, even though I wasn't around him that much at the time, I was spiritually, we always talked, we always prayed for each other, I always prayed for him. We always were connected, you know, spiritually. And then when he started...
Let me stop you there, Angela, okay?
Sorry about the problem.
I mean, one of the things that, and this, I think this should help to inspire some of the listeners, Tony.
Yes.
I mean, every day, Angela would take her kids and line them up, and they'd walk the mass, the daily mass. I mean, and I think she became a big inspiration to people in her town and people who would see her every day, you know, lining up the kids and taking them off the mat. So even though she was completely occupied with diapers and, you know, laundry and cleaning and all the things that mothers are occupied with, she still found a great, you know, opportunity. She made an opportunity to remain close to Christ through the Eucharist.
You know, that reminds me, Angela and Brother Paul, once you say yes to Jesus, fasten your seatbelt because you're going for a ride, baby. You're going for a ride, and he'll take you places that you never dreamed of. You know, if I may interrupt, we get a scriptural reflection from someone that writes it that's in the religious sect, but he doesn't want his name mentioned. But this particular one reminds me so much of you, Angela. May I take a minute to read it, if it's okay with You, Brother Paul, and Angela?
Yeah, sure, of course.
I think it mirrors what you're all about. So this is the scriptural reflection for the week for tomorrow's readings. See, the Lord is my help. Isaiah 50:4-9. Is this what we believe and what we live out each day? Do we sincerely hold this belief? That the Lord does indeed sustain me and hold me up in the midst of life's difficulties, disappointments, and defeats. All I need to do is to accept him and to ask him. What is required of us is a sure and steady faith when our first indication or instinct would be to doubt his presence and help. How does God offer this help to us? Finally, in the power of his word. His word has the power to save, to scrutinize the words of Scripture each day. Will find us making an important discovery, which I think you have, Angela. We will notice how our lives are woven into the words of the Bible. The word of God speaks to every human situation and sentiment. Seeing and understanding this will help our faith remain strong in the presence of God right in the middle of what we are presently experiencing. This will produce courage within us, the courage to carry whatever cross is laid upon us, and we will do so mindful of the Lord Jesus bearing the cross with us, and we will be able to say to those around us, see, the Lord God is my help. Amen.
Amen.
That's the reflection for tomorrow's reading, and it just mirrors you so perfectly, I think, Angela, and God bless you.
Well, I have to say, Tony, that this whole journey, and I can't believe it's 20 years since it's happened, because August 5th of 1995 was the day that I remember, which now that date is so important in the ministry of the Healing Ministry of Divine Mercy. It's the Feast of Our Lady of Snows, a Lady of Mercy, and but that was a day that I was doing healing service with Father McDonough, and there was no music, and he's like, "Oh, man, you have to sing." This is like the first week of my conversion. I'm like, "I can't do it." He's like, "No, I'll bless you. You'll be fine." So this lady was standing next to me. She offered help, so we were singing hymns a cappella because I don't play an instrument. I just know a lot of music by ear. So we singing, and I was feeling on fire for God up there, you know, just singing. And she's like, "I need to tell you something." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Jesus spoke to me." I'm like, "This woman thought Jesus can talk to people." Then I didn't think so. And she said, "She's like, Jesus wants me to tell you to pray every day and go to Mass and as often as possible." So from that day on, because I said, "Well, Jesus is telling this woman that he wants you to go to Mass, I'm going to go every day." And for 20 years, I've been going every day. I mean, I rarely miss. When kids are real sick, is the only time I miss, or when I've had a baby. And a lot of times, they brought me communion anyway at the hospital. So I have to say, like, the love of the Eucharist is so in my life. I mean, and that was his gift to me. You know, I went through U2000, and I experienced that relationship with Jesus, and they have them in New York. They still have them, and I was part of their ministry for a little while. And I went there, and they had adoration, and I'm like, "No, Jesus, I know you're in the Eucharist, but it's hard for me to believe. Just show me you're there." It was pretty much this awesome, "Please show me that you're there in the Eucharist." And I closed my eyes and I looked up at the monstrance, and I literally felt that love, that peace and that joy. And I said, "No bread that is an inanimate object can give that to me.
Absolutely.
Only God can." So that has to be Jesus. And I just fell to the ground on my, and I bowed, and I'm like, "My Lord and my God, you are there." And ever since then, it's like, if I don't go to Mass, I just feel like something's missing, you know? And it was hard for many, many years to take the kiss, because I have some strong-willed kids, like, you know, some boys that's rambunctious. So, I mean, I'd be sitting in the cry room and be like, Lord, I can't hear anything. But I'm here. I'm here. And it doesn't matter because I know I can receive you. You know, and I did it for so many years when they were little. And, you know, now my kids are in school and he had, like, you know, just one that goes to daily mass every other day with me. And I'm like, you know, and as the years passed, like, I was like, I'm not giving up. And these mothers were like, I don't know how you did your kids. I'm like, just go. How is your kid going to know about being with Jesus if you don't bring them? Just come. Who cares what other people say? Who cares if people are giving you dirty looks because your kids are talking? Do the best you can. Because just show up. You know, because most of the time, everybody's loving and they help you.
Yes.
You know, and when they see a young mother, they're happy that you're taking your kids to church.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Brother Paul, can we play another of Angela's songs?
Yeah, actually, I was going to just give a little preamble to it.
Okay.
So what happened after Angela had all these kids, right? She, in the meantime, of course, I continued to see her from time to time, but not that frequently. But then all of a sudden, the divine mercy of Jesus woke us up. And I'll tell you the story after we listen to the song. But this particular song has been essentially emblematic for my own ministry, and the ministry of the healing ministry of Divine Mercy. It's a beautiful song that Angela recorded many years ago, and she sings it everywhere, and it's really basically the theme song of our ministry. So if I could ask Trevor to play the breastplate of St. Patrick, that would be great.
To the power of heaven, I bind myself to the light of the sun, the brightness of the moon, the deepness of the sea. I bind
Isn't that beautiful, Tony?
Oh, Angela, that was so beautiful. You know, I have to tell you, I'm glad it's not TV, because you brought tears to my eyes. You really do.
Oh.
But I cry easy, but you did bring tears to my eyes. It was gorgeous, really was. You know, Brother Paul, I just want to mention that even Trevor was overwhelmed with the song, by the way. He's given me Trevor's given me all sorts of emotions. He loved it.
Cool.
I just want to mention also, before I forget, that you're going to be in our area on September 29th, aren't you, at St. Anne's in Garden City, Paul?
Yeah.
You're going to be doing a healing conference.
Healing service. It's at 7 o'clock at St. Anne's Garden City.
It's in Garden City. And I'll be there, and we'll be looking forward.
And actually, Angela will be there.
You will?
She's gonna sing that song live.
Oh, Angela! Oh my God! I'm gonna tell the world. I'm gonna tell the world you're gonna be there.
Telling the world now, right?
Okay. I'm telling half the world now.
In a few hours, she's gonna be with me and singing it live here in Newark.
Oh, really?
Yep, St. Rocco's,
every second Saturday.
Oh my God! I'm so excited. I'm gonna be announcing this. And by the way, next Saturday, I'm going to be at New Hyde Park doing street fair on Jericho Turnpike. So anyone that wants to come and tell me you listen to the show, anybody that comes and tells me they're a listener, I give them a hug. So if you want hug, come and tell me you listen to the show. So I'm so excited that you're going to be. I'm going to be there, Angela.
We'll be together.
Yeah, and I'll come over and talk to you, because your music is so beautiful. It really is. So what's your, Angela, my thought and my question is, what's your goal now? What is it that you want to accomplish the most for Jesus?
Well, I'm raising my 7 kids, so being a wife and mother is important.
Absolutely.
To do. But I have a third mission, is being part of Brother Paul's ministry.
Oh.
And the healing ministry of Divine Mercy is part of my life. Brother Paul has been my spiritual father for many years, and he is a beautiful gift to me. You know, I'm so blessed that I have him around, that I could work with him, that I could do the music for him. I'm so honored to be a part of it, to do the music for the healing ministry of Divine Mercy, because I have to say, there's no other like it to me. You know, God is powerfully using Brother Paul around the world. And to be able to use my gifts, my music, to share with others when we're together, it's like amazing how God works with the music together, with Brother Paul speaking and blessing. It's really an amazing experience. So part of my life is to do the mission of mercy. And, you know, my husband works for Brother Paul for Franciscan Enterprises. He's a foreman for his construction company. My kids, you know, they know this is a part of our life, but they show up from time to time. They tell their friends about it. Some of my teenagers, you know, my daughter brought her teenage friends to the Divine Mercy Center. You know, people from the school came from it to the Divine Mercy Center. I started a prayer group at the little school, praying the chaplet. This year, at Year of Mercy, I'm going to be more involved in teaching the school the chaplet and singing. And our new principal is a singer. I'm like, this is so great. We're going to, you know, so sharing Divine Mercy through music, through witness, through whatever God wants to use me, is what I'm doing. And my family, you know, too. They taught their friends the chaplet. It's amazing how your kid, even my 3-year-old daughter, can sing the chaplet. When you can be used by God, and in your family too, we are all used. And to be able to be a part of this is a true gift. And I feel so blessed that this God is taking me from an 18-year-old girl who had no nothing what I was going to do. It changed my whole life to bring me to where I am today, a mother of 7, a wife, a part of this beautiful ministry to share to the world God's mercy and forgiveness.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That's what I want to do. That's,
I'm so glad I asked that question. It was great. It's beautiful, Angela. It really is.
That's why you got paid the big bucks.
Yes, I guess so. See, Palmer, I'm not that bad. He's worrying about me. Don't worry about me. I think I can do it, Palmer. Paul, give us a brief synopsis. I mean, your life is so full, and you're doing so many things. You have a clothing drive, a food kitchen, and all. Just briefly tell us about your ministry, which is a ministry from God.
Well, you know, obviously, you've said it so many times, I don't want to bore your listeners, but you know, we do have the soup kitchen in Newark.
That's amazing. Where
we serve over 100,000 meals a year. We do have a clothing thing where we give away clothes. We have a coat ministry, which the good people of Long Island have supported religiously, so to speak, for years, and give away thousands of coats on the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Right.
We give away, you know, thousands of toys during Christmas time. We, as Angela mentioned, her husband, Ed, works for me in my charity where we provide jobs for people that live on the street.
Oh, wow.
We hire people on the street. We teach them construction, and we actually created a construction company. So not only do we train them, but we actually put them to work and pay them. And it changes their life dramatically, I mean, in a very amazing way. And of course, the most important ministry I have, of course, is the Healing Ministry of Divine Mercy, because Jesus has commissioned me to spread the authentic message of divine mercy, not just through speaking, but through action throughout the world, so that people can know how much Jesus wants to bring us divine mercy. And thankfully, for me, he's given me a group of people that surround me who have done a remarkable job. And Angela is one of those people who has brought so much to our ministry through her voice, but probably more than her voice, just her spirit, her incredible holy, her fullness of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Her family, you know, people. When people see her children, they smile because they realize how invested the children are. Their little daughter, Annie, is just amazing how much she's involved. And it's really a wonderful example for so many people in the world today that just don't bother, don't have their family involved, don't teach their family to pray.
Absolutely.
Don't bring them to church.
And you and Angela are fine examples.
That's my message.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, I had selected a saint. I do a saint, but we're running out of time. But I did select St. Paul because that's one of my favorite saints. But I selected it in your honor. I don't have enough of time to talk, but let me just say a few things, you know, quick about it. On all his travels, Paul preached to Jews and non-Jews or Gentiles about Jesus. Like Peter, Paul felt that Gentiles who accepted Jesus as Lord didn't need to follow Jewish ways and customs, such as going to the Jewish synagogue. For this reason, and because he was the first apostle to travel widely outside of Palestine, he is known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. It was Paul who began the task of making Christianity a worldwide faith. So that's just a synopsis of Paul, but I selected it, Paul, in your honor, Paul, and because you reminded me so much of him. He is one of my favorites, and he's so, you know, he became from trashing Christians and stoning them to dying for Jesus. So it's a fine example. So I think that. Angela, I'm sure you have touched many, many people's lives today. Do you have any advice for someone that's borderline or like you were when you were 18 years old?
Well, you know, there's always hope in Christ. And, you know, whether it's like with me, with my parents praying and people bringing me, or whether it's you just open your heart and just say, Lord, I'm struggling. Can you please help me? He will never fail. He's always with you, and he will be with you even in your hardest times. So you have to just open your heart and reach out, and he will grab your hand, and he will take care of you.
Oh,
especially
on
today's the name of Mary, always look to your mother in heaven, because she has been the greatest advocate in my life from the beginning. And every time I ask and need, she's always there. She's with me in such a special way. And just especially those moms out there raising their kids, it's difficult. But just look to the Blessed Mother to help you and bring your kids to church and pray with them. Even if they don't want this, say, come on, sing with them in prayer. Sometimes, my kids don't want to pray, we're going to sing. Okay, we don't want to say the prayer, we'll sing the prayers. And they'll sing the prayers, you know, and we'll do it anyway to help them to get to know God, you know. So any way you can, let them know about God's love for them.
That's beautiful. Paul, can you say a quick prayer for our listeners and Dr. Palmer? We have about 2 minutes left. And then I'd like to go off, Trevor, playing Come Follow Me, if it's possible.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the
Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And so I bring the petitions of all those who are hearing this radio program today, but also most especially for Dr. John Palmer, for Tony, for Trevor, for the people that make that radio station possible, and of course for Angela and her family. We ask to be moved by these petitions as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary, of their beloved brother Lazarus. As you're moved by your mother's request at the marriage ceremony in Cana. As you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believes she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for the many times when you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those for whom I have just prayed. And I look forward with peace, hope, and joy at your future coming for the conversion of souls. Jesus, I trust in you.
And thank
Jesus,
you.
I trust in you. Jesus,
I trust in you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Tony.
This was a great show.
I loved it.
Oh, it was terrific. And so, listeners, thank you for listening. We want you to know this is a grassroots Catholic program, and it's for you out there. Come follow me.
I am a liar for you that sets you free. Come follow me.
Did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management,
come
or owners of WGBB.
Come follow me. Follow me wherever I go, whether a hard or easy road. Follow me, take up your cross, and I'll lead you home.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to